many kids leave every week. You know, that's awesome. So we started a new series a couple weeks ago, and this series is going to run for several weeks, and we're simply calling it AKA God, also known as. And we're looking at some different names of God and kind of what they meant to various people throughout the scriptures, and we talked about this. We understand names a little bit differently in our culture than maybe they did back then. To us, we just kind of throw out names sometimes, and names mean something or they don't mean nothing, and we're quick to give people nicknames. We don't think even about what their nicknames are that we're giving them. We just call them certain things. We just do whatever. In my life, I know, you know, you would think Michael or Mike would be pretty simple, but it's really not at times. I know that if we're out in public or I'm out somewhere and I hear somebody that maybe I don't know or I don't think I know if they address me by Michael, I know that's pre-ministry days, right? And I can, okay, so I probably knew them in high school or college or something like that. And I think whenever I started my first full-time youth ministry job, all of a sudden everyone shortened Michael to Mike. And that's when I became Mike. So I know if they call me Mike, then I probably have known them past a certain point in my life. If it's Michael, it's before. In high school, I played soccer in high school, and all the guys on the soccer team, they called me Gio, right? I mean, they couldn't pronounce Giannopoulos. They weren't that smart. So they just said Gio, and that was as far as they would got. I have a couple of pastor friends, and whenever they see me, they call me Mikey G, right? I don't even know. Like, Mikey G! I'm like, where does that even come from, right? I mean, it's just Mike is simple enough. The coolest nickname I've ever had was when I was in college. I worked at a sporting goods store, and the manager there called me G Money, right? I mean, I am the most non-athletic white dude you've ever seen. So I was just like, yeah, G-Money, that sounds gangster, right? I mean, it sounded like really cool. It sounded like it was somebody I wasn't. But sometimes we're given names, or we're given nicknames, or we throw names out, and sometimes they have meaning, and sometimes they don't. And here's a great little illustration of what I'm talking about in this clip.
It's T-Bone. The thing is, I'm supposed to be T-Bone. You're not a T-Bone. You're a perfect George.
What?
Now you listen to me.
Boy, look at George. He's giving it the T-Bone. He's jumping up and down like some kind of monkey. Hey, what was the name of that monkey that could read sign language?
Right. You can have T-Bone. Stop crying.
Not crying. And I shouldn't have said that about your wife. Please accept my apologies. Okay, everybody. I have an announcement to make. From now on, I will be known as...
Coco the Monkey.
What?
Coco.
Because we have no control over what we're called, right? But we do have control over what we call God. Because what happens a lot of times is we use this term God, this three-letter word. It means everything. To point it out, it means nothing. And so we're like, oh yeah, God gave me this or God that. But when you look at the scriptures, it was not as simple as just God. We talked a couple weeks ago, you know, it was Jehovah Rahi. When they said that, they meant, God, the Lord, is my shepherd. They understood the relationship of sheep to shepherd. They understood why they needed a shepherd in their life. Through the times when they were anxious, the times when they were scared, all of those things that represent, you know, a sheep. They understood that in the eyes of a shepherd. So when they said, man, God is not just God, he is Jehovah Rahi, they understood, the Lord is my shepherd. Last week, Tim did an amazing job of explaining Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. He explained as you looked through the book of the story of Gideon, and you looked at Gideon and looked at his life and all the things that he was going up against, how what he needed, he thought he needed a kind of this God that was going to be there for him in the battle. He thought he needed a certain type of God, but what he discovered was what he needed was the God of peace. The God that says, I've got this. I've got you. In the midst of your battles, in the midst of your fears, in the midst of your storms, I've got you. Gideon didn't need Jehovah Rahi. He needed Yahweh Shalom. At that point in his life, he didn't need to know there was a shepherd. He needed to know there was a God of peace. So this morning, we're going to look at a name. And if the scripture sounds familiar, it's because in most churches across this world, we just read this about 4 months ago. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. This is not just a Christmas verse, right? I mean, yeah, this is what started the whole thing. This is the thing that was prophesied over. This is the thing that when they said, God said, all right, I'm sending that perfect lamb. I'm sending a Savior to this world. But more than that, I'm sending God with us. I'm sending Emmanuel. Something they thought was impossible. The Israelites, for years and years and years, hundreds if not thousands of years, had worshipped this God that had been distant. A God that the only way that they could reach was through the temple. A God that they could only hear from a prophet. A God that would show up in clouds or burning bushes. To think that it was that a God would be with us, it wasn't just improbable, it was impossible. That kind of thing would not happen. So we have Emmanuel, God with us. God, the creator of all, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all that we have, our plants, our oceans, our animals, our existence as human beings, the God that parted the Red Sea, the God that delivered the Israelites out of bondage, led them to the promised land, the God who would stand up for his people, would strike down enemies, but then judge if people turned against him. The God that was there to show favor and the God that was there to show mercy. God with us. The term God means something. For you, if you're a husband and your wife says, my husband, you know what role you play in her life. Your wife and your husband says, my wife this or my wife that, you know what role you play. For myself, I have this role of husband, but I also have this role of dad. So I have three kids that call me dad, dad, dad. And it'd be strange if one of y'all called me that, but it's not strange if they call me that because that's the relationship that we have. So this term God, God is saying, look, right now when I'm saying Emmanuel, God with us, it is all of those things. It is the shepherd. It is the Lord of peace. It is everything. Everything you think I am. Everything that I am to you, I am with. When those of you who were around, you might remember Pepe. Pepe and Angie were here for quite some time, and they were missionaries in Mexico, and now they're out living in Kansas. Pepe and I used to talk, and, you know, he was Mexican, and English was not his first language, and we would talk at times, and Pepe would be like, the English language is so hard. And he would ask me, why do you have the same word that means different things? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know. I don't have an answer for that. I mean, if it's confusing to me, it's definitely confusing to someone whose English is not their first language. And we would have this conversation, you know, about the language. But there are certain words that we have in our English language, like with. That doesn't mean anything else. If Beth was to ask me, who did you have lunch with today? I know what that means. She wants to know, who did I sit down with? Who did I talk to? Who did I eat across the table from? If I was to say, who did you go shopping with? Or who did you go here with? Or who did you go play disc golf with? Right? Well, they didn't understand that means you're doing something with someone else. With is a very communal word. Because you can't do with by yourself. With is plural. With means there's someone beside me. There's someone next to me. There's someone there other than just me. God. Everything we think God is. God. With. We're not by ourselves. We're not alone. Very communal. God with us. Not God with the Israelites, not just God with the Gentiles, God with the rich, God with the educated, God with us. Us. All of us. That is Emmanuel. It was prophesied. God said, I'm tired of doing things the way we've always done them, where we're separated by a prophet or we're separated through a temple. Like, I want to be with you. I want to be there with you. I want us to have communion. I want us to be able to talk. I want us to be able to walk together. I want all of these things. And so I'm sending my son, me, in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with you, with me. So as I thought about that a lot over the last couple of weeks, all right, he's with me. But where? Where does God go with me? What does that even look like? I start thinking about the good times in my life. The times when I've felt the fullest in my faith, the fullest in life, in my relationships, in my career, and whatever it may be. Times when I'm like, life could not get any better. I think there's times when the enemy wants to make us think that we're the reason that's happening. That we're the reason we're at the top of the mountain in that moment. But God is saying, I'm there with you. I am there with you on the mountaintop. Think about the times in your life where maybe you felt closest to God. If you're a believer, if you've decided to kind of give your life to Christ and say, you know what, I'm tired of trying to do things on my own. Like, I'm all in. All the chips are pushed to the center of the table, so to speak. And you're like, man, I'm with you. I am all in, God. Think about how you felt in that moment. Maybe you've had the opportunity to be baptized. And you walk into that water, and you're immersed, and you're brought back out. That feeling that you felt, like, this is it. Like, I am proclaiming to everybody, like, I am a believer. I am all in. Does that know what Jesus felt in that moment? When God with us, Emmanuel, when he went to John the Baptist and said, you're going to baptize me. And John took him and immersed him and brought him out of the water. Man, and God said, that is my son. Man, I'm so proud of him. Do you know how Jesus felt in that moment? Like, it couldn't get any better. You think about the moments in your life when someone was so proud of you, when someone just thought you were just the greatest thing, and you felt like, man, right now, I'm hitting on all cylinders. Everything in my life is perfect. That's how Jesus felt coming out of that water. That was his mountaintop. And God was there. But he couldn't stay there, and he didn't stay there. In fact, he left straight from that water and went straight to the desert. And he spent the next 40 days and 40 nights alone in the desert. So maybe for some of us, we need to recognize that in those moments of highs, in those moments of those mountaintop experiences in our life, when all is right in the world, it's not because of us, it's not because of something we've done, it's because we have a God that loves us so much that says, I want to be there with you. I am there. God is with us on the mountaintop, and Jesus had to discover right after that, God is with you in the desert. Because that's exactly where he went. There's an older Christian singer. He's passed away now. He's one of my favorites. His name's Keith Green. And Keith Green wrote this song 40 years ago called My Eyes Are Dry. And I love the first few words of this song. He says, my eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. Have you ever been there? Like, when I'm in those seasons, when I'm in the desert, because there's been times in my life when I've been there, and I'm sure I'll be there again. Man, I listen to this song over and over because I'm like, he gets me. Like, that's how I feel. I don't have any tears to cry. Like, my heart just feels hard. Like, my prayers don't feel like they're going anywhere. My faith seems like it's ancient. And that's the desert of life that we're often in. And Jesus went to that desert, and he was alone. And he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he was just there. And Satan was coming at him, and Satan was tempting him, and all of these things. And you can read the story, and a lot of you guys, have you read this? You know this. But the one thing that wasn't there, there wasn't water, there wasn't food. But the one thing that was God. In the midst of the deserts of Jesus' life, God was there. In the deserts of my life, in the times that I have felt these things, dry eyes, old faith, hard heart, cold prayers, I know that God has been there. I didn't see it at the time. I didn't feel it at the time. But looking back, the only way I escaped that desert was because he was there. God is with us on the mountaintop. God is with us in the desert. Emmanuel on the mountains, Emmanuel in the desert. How about Emmanuel in the storm? Life has this way of throwing things at us when we don't expect it. We have unexpected tragedy or unexpected trauma, unexpected loss. We're just kind of going through life and everything seems to be okay. And maybe you're on the mountaintop or maybe you're coming out of the desert and that storm hits. Man, it's tough. Think of the story of the disciples on the boat. They're sailing out across the sea and a storm comes up and they are freaking out. And then they remembered, oh yeah, Emmanuel. Jesus is with us. So they get on the stairs and they wake Jesus up and Jesus is like, well, what are you doing? And they're like, it's a storm. Jesus is like, so? I mean, that's kind of his response. All right, there's a storm, but I'm with you. Do you really think this storm is going to sink us if I'm with you? And he goes out and he just kind of calms the storm. He's like, where's your faith? Man, I've hit some storms in my life where my faith has been shattered. Where I've been screaming, Jesus, wake up. What are you doing? Where are you at? There's a storm I'm in right now in my life, and I'm going to sink if you're not here. And Jesus has to remind me, I am there. Mike, remember, I'm Emmanuel, God with you. I've got you in this storm. This past week, it was a beautiful week. It was like 5 or 6 days of just sunshine and 75 degrees, but we had been watching the radar, and we knew Friday was going to be stormy. And man, was it stormy. It was just horrible thunderstorms came through the coast there we were at, tree limbs down, and on Friday, they had sustained 35-mile-an-hour winds. And I don't know if I've ever been in that kind of wind so consistent. And in the evening or late afternoon, the clouds started to break and the sun came out. And I was like, Beth, let's go walk on the beach one last time. And we got out there and we're walking like this, right? I mean, the wind is blowing against us. And it was like all we could do to walk. And that wind was so strong and that storm was there. And you looked around at like these waves that were the biggest they had been all week. And you looked at all this debris that was down and all of this stuff, and yet there was this sun right there saying, I got this. This storm ain't going to last forever. And I just sat there as we were walking on this beach and seeing the clouds break and the sun right there getting ready to set. And I was just like, man, why don't I get this in my life? Why is it so easy for me to overlook this in the storms of my life? Not the clouds and the thunder and the lightning kind of storms, but I'm talking about the storms that pop up. That maybe I see them on the radar and they know they're coming. Or maybe, like the disciples, we had no idea and it just hits us. Why am I so quick to assume those clouds are never going to break and that sun's never going to shine again? Why am I so quick to forget that Emmanuel means God is with you, Mike? Why are we so quick to forget that? Emmanuel on the mountain, Emmanuel in the desert, Emmanuel in the storm. and Emmanuel in the valley. Because sometimes our storms become valleys. The mountaintops that we were once on seem like they were light years away. We talked about this a few weeks ago as we looked at this idea of shepherd, and we looked at the 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're with me. Those valleys are tough. I thought about the valleys of death that Jesus had to experience as he found out one of his good friends, Lazarus, had passed away. It says he wept. He was brokenhearted. You don't think that was a valley for Jesus? Or what about the valley of a death of a friendship? As he sat around that night at the Last Supper, and he knew it was the last. The disciples didn't understand it, and they're sitting there, and they're sharing bread and wine and food, and they're laughing and joking. Jesus, knowing that one of them was going to betray him. The loss of a friend. Betrayed by someone you loved. You don't think that was a valley? The valley of carrying his cross. The valley of hanging on the cross. The valley of being laughed at, mocked at, ridiculed, dying. You don't think that was a valley? Jesus even said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" If you have not been in a valley like that in your life, you probably will be. And the thing that we have to remember is Emmanuel, God with me. That God is with me when I'm at my best, when I'm on the mountain. God is with me when I am dry, when I feel like there's nothing left to give. God is with me in the storms of life, and God is with me in those valleys. God is with me always. That's it. This infant that was prophesied in the beginning of Matthew, a virgin will be at the child, will be given birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The climax of that story is the empty grave. The climax of that story is what we call Easter morning. Because Jesus is saying, look, I'm not just with these disciples for 30 some odd years. I wasn't just with them. I am with you always. I am with Mike in 2019. I am with all of you guys all the rest of your lives. Emmanuel, God with you. You need a shepherd? I am there. You need peace? I am there. I am God with you. On the mountains, to the desert, to the storms, to the valleys. Emmanuel is with me. Emmanuel is with you. That's what makes today so beautiful. Jesus didn't just live for 33 years or so and clock out and go back to heaven. I say, all right, the rest of you are on your own. If you weren't with me in these 33 years, you're lost. No. This Emmanuel, God with us, it is not finite. It is not something that had an expiration date. Amen? Aren't we glad for that? That God with us is now. God is with us on Easter, April 21st, 2019. He's as real now as he's ever been. And I don't know where you're at right now. You may be on your mountaintop. You may be in your desert. You may be in a storm. You may be in a valley. But I know the one constant in all of those areas of our lives is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I just pray this morning that we get this simple Easter message. That the God of all, the God that whatever we need, whatever we want to call you, whatever we need you to be in our lives in this exact moment, you are that God to us. That you are with us. You want to commune with us. You want to fellowship with us. You want to be there with us. And that us includes me. It includes every single person in here. And God, my prayer this morning is that if there's anyone in here who is experiencing that mountaintop experience right now in their life, as they survey the landscape and they look at the season of their life, and they're like, God, right now, if you were to take me, then life could never end better. God, help us to appreciate the fact that you are there. God, if there's any of us this morning that's struggling with the desert, that we can honestly say, if we're really honest, that my eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, and my prayer is cold. God, if that's how we feel, let us know that that's okay. That we're in the season of the desert, but so are you. Because you are Emmanuel, and we are not in the desert alone. God, that if we've been hit with storms, some that we saw coming and now they're here, others came out of nowhere, God, as the disciples frantically woke you to make you aware of the situation, and you had to very calmly remind them that you know what's going on because you're God. Remind us of that same thing this morning. That in the storm of our life, if we need Yahweh Shalom, then be our peace in the storm. And God, if there's some of us in the valley, and we're hurting, and we're lost, we're scared, we're anxious, and God, we need to know you as Jehovah Rahi, as our shepherd, to protect us, to lead us out of this valley in our life. Remind us this morning that your life and Emmanuel did not disappear when you exited that grave, but instead became more real to us than you ever have been before. From the mountains to the desert to the storms to the valley, Emmanuel, you are with us.